In our last chapter, our adventurers located the boarding house where Betty had been living. But when they arrived, they were told by Mrs. Murphy that she had turned Betty out into the street because she couldn't pay her board. The sheriff has warned Mrs. Murphy that unless he locates the little heiress within an hour's time, he will put the proprietress of the boarding house behind prison bars. As our scene opens now, Sonny and Buddy are back at the house car questioning the sheriff. Here they are.
Sheriff, are you really going to put Mrs. Murphy in jail for turning Betty out into the street?
Oh, shucks, no. That was just a bluff, Sonny. I couldn't put her in jail unless something serious happened to Miss Betty. I just figured if I threatened to put Miss Murphy in jail, she'd get busy and help us find her.
Well, Mrs. Murphy has called everybody she knows, and she hasn't been able to find Betty yet.
Nope, I reckon she just picked up and gone to some other town.
Well, Sheriff, how could she go to some other town when she didn't even have money enough to pay for one night's board? She certainly wouldn't have money to pay her fare to some other town.
Yeah, she might have picked up a ride somewhere.
Oh, no. Betty wouldn't ride with strangers.
A jumping jihad fed. She might have met up with somebody she knows who offered to take her. Or maybe she high-hitched. Yeah, that's got nerve enough to run away from home has got to get used to making a way in the world.
Yeah, but she wrote Dad asking him to come here to Pecora and get her.
Yes, Sheriff. I'm sure Betty wouldn't leave town until she heard from us. She surely knew that I would come for her as soon as I received her letter. Well, she ain't here. Likewise, we ain't been able to find her. Miss Murphy telephoned everybody she knowed, and I've been to the police station, and they don't know nothing about her.
I just can't imagine Mrs. Murphy turning Betty out in the streets when she was sick.
See, I didn't know there was anyone so mean in the world. Why, every time I go to eat, I almost choke on the food because, well, I think that perhaps Betty's all alone with nothing at all to eat.
Yeah, and last night when I was lying in my warm, comfortable bed, and I heard the rain beating down on the roof, and I couldn't sleep because I could just imagine Betty sleeping out in the rain, perhaps on the ground with nothing to protect her. You know, Dad, we should have telephoned or telegraphed Betty as soon as we received her letter and told her that we were coming for her.
Yeah, that's right. She may have thought because we didn't answer that we didn't receive her letter.
Yes, that's true, Sonny. I should have telephoned, but, oh, well, I was so excited when I received Betty's letter that I just forgot everything except to get to her just as quickly as possible.
Well, I know one thing. If Betty is in this little town, she's bound to hear the calliope and recognize it.
Hey there, mister. Ain't you all going to give another free vaudeville opera show tonight?
Yes, sir. In just a few minutes.
Well, I sure hope you do. Because I've told everybody I've seen about your show last night. And they're all coming down here in a few minutes.
Well, that's good, young man. We're much obliged to you for advertising our show.
Oh, that's all right. That's kind of my job to tell everything I know. Because, you see, we ain't got no newspaper here in this town, and folks sort of looks to me and Ma to tell everything that happens.
I see. Chalko, let's go. We don't want to disappoint the people here. Now they're coming. Keep it up, Chalko. That's right, folks. Come on over and bring all the family. You'll enjoy every minute of it. And if you buy a bottle of my tonic and soda, you'll enjoy good health. So gather around and listen to our songs and jokes. And we'll send you home happier than you've been in years.
Hi there, Doc. Have you got any wild animals for this here show?
Wild animals? No, we haven't any wild animals.
Well, you ought to have some, and you're going to have a chance to get some. I've got a proposition to make to you, if you'll listen.
All right, stranger, what is it?
Well, it's this. Last month, there was a little wagon circus to come through here, and they busted up after the first show. They sold all their wagons and horses and mules, but didn't nobody want the animals. So the feller got me to keep them for him and said he'd come back the next week.
And you still got them?
Yep, but their animals are just about to eat me out of house and home. And you can have them just by paying me for what I spent on feed.
Well, I haven't any place to keep wild animals with my little show.
Oh, well, Dad, if they don't cost anything, why not take them? They might add to our show.
Why, sure, Dad. I believe it'll be a good idea.
Well, how many do you have, and what kind of animals are they?
Well, I got a lion, a wildcat, and a cage of snakes. I'll go and get them and show them to you. I won't be gone more than 10 minutes, and I'll bring them back in my truck.
Oh, Dad, we'd better start the show. You know, we don't want to lose the chance of selling a little medicine to this crowd.
And now, come in closer, folks. Come in closer. The big show is just ready to start. Times have been hard for all of us, but things are getting brighter and better. And now Rasmus will brighten the hearts of the little folks as he tells them about the old woman in the shoe.
The woman in the shoe had a family that always kept her life in a jamboree. She couldn't keep them all looking nifty. there were just 53. She had to feed them all every single day, and there were many times when she couldn't pay. She surely felt blue in a broken down shoe. She really didn't know just what to do. One day a fairy prince went a-traveling and saw the poor old girl didn't have a thing. He raised his magic wand and from an empty pond made a gay place of a gray place. The shoe was filled with love and merry laughter, and everyone lived happy ever after. Instead of feeling blue, just a big smile grew on the happy old woman in the shoe. First came a home, a brand new shoe with windows too. Butler and cook, a jolly crew with things to chew. Gingerbread man with ginger cake, like mother makes. A butcher boy came with juicy steaks and ducks and drakes. Bakery man with stacks of pies up to the skies. 4 and 20 blackbirds opened their eyes. What a surprise. Jack and Jill came up the hill with a pail of candy. The painted dolls gave a ball and everything was dandy. The woman in the shoe had a family that always kept her life in a jamboree. She couldn't keep them all looking nifty. There were just 53. She had to feed them all every single day, and there were many times when she couldn't pay. She surely felt blue in a broken down shoe. She really didn't know just what to do. One day a fairy prince went a-traveling and saw the poor old girl didn't have a thing. He raised his magic wand and from an empty pond made a gay place of a gray place. The shoe was filled with love and merry laughter, and everyone lived happy ever after. Instead of feeling blue, just a big smile grew on the happy old woman in the shoe.
Hey, Sambo, how come you told Mr. Doc that I stole that half of a fried chicken out of the icebox?
I never told Mr. Doc that.
Yes, you did.
I never told Mr. Doc that you stole that half of fried chicken out of the icebox.
Well, just what did you tell him, Dad?
Well, I told Mr. Doc that I ain't seen nobody in the kitchen but you and the captain. I know the cat didn't steal that chicken.
Hey, you know, Sambo, I read in the paper where an English lady over in England lost 2,000 pounds in one day.
A lady in England lost 2,000 pounds in one day?
Yeah, man, I don't believe that. I don't believe no woman ever was that fat.
Well, boys, that means 2,000 pounds in English money.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, you know, it sure is funny how big fat ladies usually have little skinny husbands, ain't it? Now, you take that Liza Jean's husband. Man, he's so skinny he has to drink muddy water to keep people from seeing through him.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I bet he don't weigh 20 pounds soaking wet. Why, he's so skinny that if he'd close one eye, he'd look like a needle.
Yeah, but the other day they was getting on the streetcar, and he was hanging on to his wife Liza's arm. And she was so fat and he was so skinny that the conductor stopped him and says, "I'm sorry, madam, but you'll have to leave your umbrella on the platform."
It happened when your eyes met mine, and Sambo sings it for you. All right.
It happened when your eyes met mine, the kindling of a spark. It happened that the moon shone high above, and how my hungry heart just yearned for love. You happened to be dancing by. I wondered if you heard me sigh, or when you passed again, you
turned around and then it happened when you're a
wonderful tonic for sales. You can't feed it anywhere in the world.
Oh, look, Dad. Look, here comes the fellow with the animals. He did bring them.
Well, here's your wild animals. They're all in the cage, and the cage can be hooked right onto your little living car and travel right behind you.
Well, how much do you want for them?
Well, it cost me $2 for feed for this here line and the wildcat, and I reckon you can have them for that. And I'll be obliged to you if you'll take them.
Tell you what I'll do, stranger. Just to show you that I'm a man of my word, I'll buy your animals. And I'll give you the biggest bargain you ever saw. 3 bottles of my tonic and toner, and you give me the animals. It's the biggest bargain you'll ever get. What do you say?
Well, it won't cost me nothing to keep the medicine. And these animals are making my wife very unhappy. All right, I'll do it.
It's a trade.
Charco, come here. We've got some new playmates for you.
You thought it was for who?
Look. A lion, a wildcat, and some snakes. Dad just bought them. And you'll have to keep the lion and the wildcat clean and neat for the people to look at.
Well, what are you talking about? My mama didn't raise no dumb children. I ain't going to be no nursemaid to them bull restrictors and that man-eater. Where are they going to sleep?
Why, they're going to sleep right back there on the truck with you.
Oh, Mr. Doc, good Mr. Doc. You ain't going to make me sleep with them ferocious beasts, is you?
Well, we'll see about that later. Did we sell much medicine tonight, Jocko?
No, sir, not much.
Well, if you'd have been here night before last, you could have sold a bottle of medicine. A gal took sick and fell on the street right in front of Jones's drugstore.
Who was the girl?
Well, I don't know. She was a stranger here. I ain't never seen her before.
Well, what did she look like?
Oh, she was a little blonde gal. Not much bigger than you are. She had blue eyes and wore a yaller dress.
Why, Dad, that sounds as if it might have been Betty. Where did she go?
Oh, Doc Jones took her up off the street and put her in his car and took her away.
But where did they take her?
To the hospital.
Well, where is the hospital? Can you take us there?
No, I can't take you there, because we ain't got no hospital in this here town. But Doc Jones took her to the hospital in Lumpkin. That's 25 miles from here.
Well, come on, Dad, and let's go to the hospital and see if it is Betty.
It's bound to be Betty. That's why we haven't been able to find her. Oh, she's in the hospital, and there's no telling how sick she is. Oh, we've got to get to her at once, Dad.
Well, old tool, I've been ready for 5 minutes. Get your truck started, and I'll follow right behind your wild animals. Come on, let's get going to Lumpkin.
That is bad news. To be alone without food or a place to sleep was bad enough, but the news that Betty has been taken to the hospital is a real shock to our adventurers. Well, they're on their way to Lumpkin, and our next chapter will tell what luck they have when they reach the hospital.